Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where every single thing we do, we say, we express aims to support you becoming the marriage transformative hero of your relationship. In today's episode, we've been gifted an amazing insight by a courageous and vulnerable voice message sent in to us by Ryan. Ryan is one of the amazing, the long, expanding, growing list of amazing heroic husbands that's been diligently listening in, and he has reached out. This is a reminder to all of you. He reached out via the voice message link that is in the podcast description. It's in every podcast description of the last number of podcast descriptions in the last weeks since I've started this service. It won't be in the older versions, but going forward, it's going to be there every week. And I just want to put the gauntlet down there, the offer down to you is like, reach out to me. What Ryan has done, and there was another two brothers that have done this thus far, they reach out and describe what their number one struggle is to me, or they just give a key description of what's live in their marriage. And effectively, when I get that, that gives me the fuel to write up a personalized response. Of course, I make it more general for the benefit of every guy listening in, but you get effectively a completely gifted, personalized, highly detailed, structured solution from my wealth of wisdom to this point in transforming marriages. You get that like directed straight back to you, and I'll send it via personalized email to your inbox. You're going to be the first person I will send when it goes live. So Ryan is getting the full benefit of this, and I just want to acknowledge you, Ryan. Thank you very much for having the courage to send in this message. I'm going to read it out pretty much. It's 99% verbatim of Ryan's message. His message goes like this. My biggest issue is my failure to keep good with promises. Keeping a perspective of strength and initiative and compassion and having direct communication. And being selfish. I've always had a more selfish or weaker victim-based perspective. Lacking some goals and a clear direction to move our family towards a better future. I'm often taking a back seat and leaving it to my wife to lead. She has always had a stronger energy that way, but now she can't rely on me. She has no real trust in me because over the 6 years together, I have promised over and over again that I would change. I would become this man that I've promised her from day one I would be, and I want to be. I always seem to fall through. It generally ends the same. I typically get in my best behavior for a week or two, feel energized and really committed and driven to change, but after a week or two, my selfish and weaker perspectives trickle back in. Arguments occur, and this can often come from feeling sick, feeling stressed at work, feeling like I'm falling behind and overwhelmed. Then I fall back to my old patterns of being selfish and less compassionate. First of all, Ryan, like, thank you so much in packing in such a beautifully concise and yet really beautifully detailed description of what's life for you in marriage. Like, that's just an amazing thing, an amazing gift to me and to every guy here. There's a ton in that. And what I would say, guys listening in, like, you get to the sort of the pressures off you. You're getting to vicariously sit in on this conversation like I'm conversing with Ryan direct. Yet I want you to see and note what I can say for a fact, Ryan, is that I'd say, like, the core parts of what you're speaking to, 99% of husbands in any room is going to have his hand up for core parts of what you're speaking to. You pack in, there's sort of a core part of like being good with your promises, but there's a lot of stuff there. And like, I can guarantee you, man, like, this is the power of your message, is that a lot of heads are nodding going, oh, fuck me, I've got my version of that too. So guys listening in, lean in. This is not Ryan's ass on the hot seat. Every man's ass is on the hot seat as well. I'd sort of bring it down to like a more crystallized, there's lots of details in there. But what I'm seeing is, like you've stated, is like your biggest issue is this repeated failure to keep good with promises. There's that cycle. So the cycle, as you've reported, is like it's this cycle of getting on your best behavior for a week or two. You're feeling energized and really committed and driven to change. But, and it seems to be the pattern that there's always a but the selfish and weaker perspectives trickle back in. They get in the back door and you end up falling behind, feeling overwhelmed. And overall, over the 6 years, your wife has no real trust of you. Just trying to like bring it into a concise, more crystallized version that we can deal with. Of that, like, you know, most husbands have this thing of like a failure to keep good with promises. I can tell you for a fact, a lot of guys come in as, oh, no, I'm good. And then when I get talking with them, there's tons of things that their divine wives, their goddesses, their queens are giving them feedback. And a lot of times we don't even realize we're getting feedback. We don't consciously, it's like, oh, that's an issue for her. But our mind goes, well, it's not really an issue for me. Ultimately, we don't really admit it. And we end up not being good with our promises because we sort of make promises, but we don't value them. So there's a lot of this stuff going on. So it's a major, major thing. Guys listening in, touching base, is that an issue for you? And again, as always, oh, it's not an issue for me. If I was asking your wife the same question, if I was asking all of you individually, face to face, we're having a cup of coffee, we're chilling out as powerful, heroic husbands, we're just like man with man, you know, we're getting fucking real. And I asked you the same question, looking in your eyes like, dude, if your wife was answering the question, what would she be saying? Would she be saying, yeah, he makes promises and he doesn't back them up the whole time? Most of you, from my experience, would be saying, yeah, like she would be saying it's an issue. It's a major issue. And it kills trust over time. If a woman is not feeling trust over time, she's not feeling safe. Because if you're not dependable, you're not safe. And that erodes marriage. That erodes intimacy. That anything that erodes the feeling of safety for your woman will erode her trust, will erode that masculine, feminine, sexual attraction and dynamic. It erodes everything. So in the context here, I want to craft this. I will speak to it, you know, there's a context here, Ryan, and for all guys, Ryan, I'm going to speak like you're in front of me, and I'm going to speak like I'm getting to work with you. You know, I'm talking about like working with you in heroic husbands, men's circles. Like that would be a potent place where I'm like, okay, like you check in with this. I'm going to give an answer sort of along the lines. It might feel like a fire hydrant where I'm like, oh, I'm just putting so much stuff your way. I want to give it like a real solid answer as much as possible. And for every guy listening in and you, Ryan, it's like, just pick a few bits that resonate with you. Like if you work with one or two of these points with ferocious courage, you're like, okay, I'll take that point on board. I'm going to work with that. That can transform everything. I can tell you for a fact, all of these points. If you go to town on all of them, oh my God. So there's massive potency listening in. However, there's a context. I would work with you, and the answer is that like I'm working with you over, you know, the weeks and a couple of months together, that transformation would be off the fucking charts. Guaranteed. These are all proven strategies in my marriage, in marriage with one-on-one guys in men's circles around the world. So within that context, let's kick it off here. Few things that jump out at me immediately. And this is foundational for, like, these are foundational reflections, guys. So every husband listening in, listen up. You know, really, listen the fuck up. If you want to transform your marriage, listen up. My question to you, what I'd be working with you, Ryan, is establishing, like, what are your needs? Because when I start hearing, and I hear this so often, I was hearing this in my own mind for years, I just didn't recognize it was a thing. When I hear you describing, you know, oh man, you know, like I'm feeling sick and feeling stressed at work and feeling like I'm falling behind and overwhelmed. So there's this cycle in play, you know, where you knock it out at a park for a while. A lot of guys end up doing that. They can put on the good husband cap for, you know, 7 days, 2 weeks, whatever. But it's slowly but surely, like when you say, like the weaker perspectives trickle back in. Really common pattern. My first question is like, what are your needs, Ryan? And by extension, guys, I'm asking you, it's like, what are your needs? What are your non-negotiable needs as men? This is like food for like a separate episode just by itself to go to do a really deep dive in this. But if you are in your married life in this cycle of feeling good one moment and then like just you get overwhelmed and stressed, et cetera, that is a classic hallmark of there are deep needs that you have as a man that are not being met. They are needs that would nurture you, your soul, your spirit, your nervous system, your body, that would allow you show up resiliently and with full capacity to endure whatever marriage, life, your work, parenting, financial pressures, fucking political change, whatever is being bombarded your way. That's just life. You know, there's nothing exceptional on your shoulders that isn't on my shoulders and other guys' shoulders, you know, bar a couple of things. But like, we have this insane capacity to show up as men, but only if we have our most important deep personal needs met. I'm pausing there for a moment. My question, guys, and leaning in intimately is like, how many of you have an immediate answer to that within yourselves? Oh, you know, if I was like this, one and one across the table or in heroic husband's men circle, you know, if I pose that question, well, Ryan, or well, Todd, or well, Steve, you know, what are your non-negotiable needs as a man in married life? Would you have an immediate answer? Is that something you have reflected upon? Very few of you will have reflected upon that. Like, just statistically speaking, not to the depth anyway of what is necessary. The vast majority of men, myself included, I didn't know what my needs were for so long. The Mr. Nice Guy, I was putting the needs of my wife ahead, my kids ahead, fucking parents-in-law ahead, my neighbor ahead, my dog's needs ahead, but me unapologetically recognizing what my needs were, which is step number one, and then establishing, hey, I have a need for exercise like at least 4 times a week. I have a need to go into nature, solitude time, where I just can reset, hike for an hour, 2 hours over the weekend just by myself. No kids, no wife, no responsibilities, no shit. I don't want to hear about the, you know, your parents coming over. I just want to have like that 2 hours. One of the most transformative things for myself is recently I've been meeting my solitude time needs. I get up at 5 in the morning. That was a change earlier this year, but I was doing that Monday to Friday, but I extended that into the weekend. And I get up at 5 a.m. on a Saturday morning, and between 5 a.m. and 9 a.m., my wife is down with me, but I've said, hey, it's like I don't want to, I don't like, apart from we might have like a 7 a.m. sort of coffee, 10 minutes. But that's 4 hours where I just do me. I'm not doing business. I'm not preparing any stuff for you guys. I'm not doing anything for clients. I'm not thinking about my wife. I'm not thinking about our marriage per se. I'm thinking about me. That's 4 hours every single week. That's just me recharging me, like just nurturing me, my soul. I might do a bit of exercise, meditation. I listen to teachings, but it's about me. I'm not like jotting down notes. Oh, that'll be good for the podcast this week. So that has been recharging me. So that would be number one. Point number one, Ryan, is like establish what your needs are. What are your non-negotiable needs that energize you, that supports you showing up, that you can sustain those windows of energized focus and motivation, and you know that badass part of you. What is needed to support your nervous system showing up like that? Number two. This might be a curveball, but recently there was a Justin Patrick Pierce was in. I loved that episode there last week. I was talking about desires. My question would be, like, what desires do you have? Again, this might seem a little bit of a curveball. It's like, oh yeah, man, like, you know, what's my desires like got to do with this? It's really important to connect with your desire. A desire is the impulse to want to change something from how it is. You know, sometimes as guys, we end up feeling pressure in receiving our woman's feedback, our beautiful wives. You know, we don't often call it beautiful feedback. We a lot of the time end up relating to it like, oh, it's criticism, or she's on my case, she's breaking my balls. If you come from an Italian culture, rompere le palle, to break my balls. We sort of relate to their feedback as it, with a negative slant to it. Because our women's feedback, like what you're receiving here, Ryan, and many guys listening in receive, it's like their desire to us, for us to be different in some way. It's a desire. They notice something in how we're showing up, and we're like, there's a part of their nervous system is like they feel a discomfort. They mightn't call it a desire, but they want you to show up. They want something in the situation to be different. And when we're getting feedback, they want our behavior, how we're speaking, how we're showing up, our levels of presence, etc., to be different. So it's an expression of desire. And we feel that that's uncomfortable to receive. I've yet to meet a guy that meets me in work, in this deep work, that is like, yeah, man, I'm so totally comfortable. I receive her feedback. And, you know, I receive her feedback, which is an expression of her desire of what she wants to be different in me, with an open heart. I'm so present with it. I actually get really energized when I receive that feedback. Zero. I've yet to meet one guy. So again, this is reshaping your relationship with feedback, with her desires. And one thing to do that, Ryan, and every guy listening in, is answering the question, you know, what desires do I have as a man, as a husband, as a lover? Again, it's a bit like the needs, but the desires. What do you desire to be different in your married life, in your marriage, in your communication? Because we can only gift an experience to somebody else that we're gifting to ourselves. This is like this energetic, psychological, universal law. You know, this whole thing of like, we try to love somebody else, but if you can't love yourself, if you can't gift yourself the experience of just loving and accepting yourself, even me just saying that, my tummy just relaxed down. I just relaxed into, for years, I just like really could not love and accept myself. And from there, I couldn't actually love and accept my beautiful queen. Didn't matter how much I fucking mentally spoke about her, jotted shit down, I couldn't love her fully as she was until I was loving and accepting myself as I was. But desire is the same thing. You're going to be really uncomfortable with her expressions and her ownership of desires, which is a feminine feedback, until you're actually bringing it front and center in your life. You're journaling, you're doing deep work, come into heroic men's, heroic husbands, men's circles. You're going to be supported in recognizing what those desires are, what the needs are as well, what your desires are, what you want different. And then you get really comfortable in owning. It's like, hey, I have a desire for more sex. I have a desire for more solitude time. I have a desire for you to stop like criticizing me openly in public. I have a desire for things you want that you want them to be different. When you do that work, Ryan, you're going to start getting comfortable and growing in your confidence of you have a right to desire things to be different. And from there, you're going to start building a foundation in your nervous system because you're allowing yourself to recognize your desires. By natural extension, all your inner resistance is going to drop to receiving feedback. At which point, naturally, it builds perfectly. Point number three, Ryan, and guys, it's to Ryan, but it's to every single man here. All of this shit is relevant for every guy. There's like pretty much It's a specific response to Ryan's situation, but it's a very general issue of making promises and not meeting them. So it's relevant for every guy. So lean in, guys. When you recognize what your own desires are and you become more and more comfortable to that, become more open, explicitly open, asking, requesting the gift of your wife's direct feedback. Ryan, like, this becomes an issue and it knocks us as men. I used to run a million miles from my beautiful queen's direct feedback. I used to always think, oh, it's fucking criticism. Oh, she's at me again. Oh, she's rejecting. I'm never good enough. Like, is my best will never be good enough. I used to, like, there was so much victimhood in my perspective, but that's been sort of bed into us. We have this entitlement perspective where, you know, in modern culture, a good wife, I've mentioned recently, I was guesting on The Dad Edge with Larry Hagner. I had him on as a guest here. Had a beautiful episode with him. It was actually a personal celebration. It was like the most popular, the most successful podcast I've guested on. So there was a major victory for me, for the movement. I want to get this the word out there. It's actually going to be going live, I think, in the next week or so. But I was speaking with Larry about entitlement and modern culture. Modern culture. Have any of you guys looked at the Marvel movies? I know they're really, really popular. What I was speaking with Larry about is this idea of entitlement that has been subconsciously, like, planted all of these seeds and conditioned us as men and women as well by extension to this idea that, like, the perfect woman is this unquestioning, loyal, perfectly supportive woman of a man's external mission. There's no question in it. In the Marvel movies, like in the Avengers, there's one point where I think it's Hawkeye, the dude that fires arrows the whole time. He brings the whole Avengers team during one of the movies back when practically the whole world, if not the whole universe, is out to get them. You know, they're up against it. They're in the shit. So he brings the whole Avengers team back to his family home on the farm, out in the back arse of wherever it is in the world that he's living. Okay, his wife meets him, dressed beautifully, looking sexy, looking hot, and she greets him with a smile, and it's like, oh, you know, you brought the Avengers home. You know, who wants dinner? And it's like, I we love those movies, but my woman afterwards, like, we break this shit down. She's like, Mark, do you see that depiction there? And there's, what the fuck, is it Tony Stark, the dude Iron Man? Like, his relationship with Pepper in it, it's like he's a fucking maniac. He does all of this crazy shit. He's never dependable. He breaks every single promise. And fucking his wife Pepper, like the long-term personal assistant to him, just like is always forgiving. She gives out to him, but it's like always just kiss and make up. It's so fucking easy. Guys, the public, the social conditioning has been for women that they should just be loyal, supportive, without question. You go all the way back to Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. John Candy, Steve Martin, 1980s, one of the most popular, it's like funny-ass film. But again, Steve Martin, the protagonist, he goes through fucking hell. And he can't call his wife. It's Christmas. He can't call her for like 3 or 4 days. She doesn't know where the fuck he is. He's going through hell. He arrives on the doorstep, and she comes down the stairs and it's just like, oh, a nice smile. Oh, happy Christmas, everybody. And she kisses him. My wife would be like, Mark, like, you'd be packing your fucking bags. Like, 3 days. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, she gives me, like, full flame feedback. So, I'm just giving this sort of a side thing to Ryan, to every guy. Underneath the radar, we have been conditioned that, this is subconscious, remember? This is like really subconscious, so it's below awareness. We have been conditioned that, like, why am I being given this feedback? I mean, why is she not just supporting me? It's like, can she not see? You know, I'm part of the Avengers. I'm Hawkeye. I've all of this shit going on. Why is she complaining? We've had a lot of conditioning, and women have had a lot of conditioning and pressurizing themselves that they should just put up, shut up, and be the supportive woman. So it's a catastrophic energetic mix. This is to say, the flip side of that, Ryan, is my challenge within, like, working with you on a week-to-week basis. I wouldn't fire hydrant all of it like this in one session. But if I was working with you, like, Ryan, by week number three, I'd be like, hey, dude, have you asked, like, for direct full-flame feedback from your wife? So instead, Ryan, of waiting till the shit hits the fan and then her level of frustration just gets to the point where she's like, oh, for fuck's sake, Ryan, you know, guys, have you all got this from your wives at a point? Like, the shit hits the fan when her frustration, she's giving you like a bit of feedback, or there's this cycle of it. Ryan, yours is like over 6 years. Like, guys listening in could be like, you know, relatively early like Ryan, or it could be, you know, I'm 15 years in the beautiful octagon of marriage. Other guys, a few, like 2, 3, 4 decades, like, and it's all sacred. But instead of this cycle where your woman feels, oh man, she just builds up with frustration to the point in which, like, she has to come to you and feel awkward and feel resistance, and she's feeling resentment to you because why? You make all of these promises, you don't back them up, and here's me breaking your arse again. Becoming sort of like the bitch wife. They're feeling like they're being a bitch wife. They don't like that, because they see immediately, I can guarantee you, Ryan, as like a... If I had you in front, I'd ask you more questions on this, but I can guarantee you your nervous system doesn't show up with an open-hearted posture, with a nice, deep, open breath, with you consciously aware of what you're thinking, like you're thinking, what your thoughts are like. Are your thoughts going to blame or shame, and you shifting them to claiming thoughts? Guarantee you. Like, I that might seem arrogant, I just know. I can guarantee you, if you're reporting this as an issue, you're not receiving feedback. You know, some guys can go like, oh, he's fucking arrogant, that Mark. Like, guys, I can pretty much guarantee all of you, if I was in the room, if 100 of the guys listening in were in the room looking and they had a video recording of you receiving feedback from your wife, we would all see a raised eyebrow, like, you know, a closed off arms, you looking at the clock, you just seeming a little bit agitated, your eyes on the floor, not looking at her directly, or giving her a steely stare that's like, you're like, I don't know, Superman trying to burn through her. There'd be plenty of signs of closure. Guaranteed. I've seen it too many times. You would not be having issues, guys, if you were receiving feedback in a gloriously embodied manner. So, Ryan, that would be the point number three. The highest leverage thing. You go directly. What that looks like is literally, you go to your wife proactively when times are feeling good. Like, not in the times when the house is burning down. Go when there's no fire and go, hey, honey, you know, I've been listening to this podcast. This guy is putting a fire god under us. Like, he seems to have sorted his shit out. Or make no mention of the skinny white Irish dude. Just, you can tell her. It's like, this dude has been annoying me so much to the point in which I want to ask your feedback. No, don't mention any of that shit, Ryan. But just have your balls drop, you know, 2 inches further as a man. And it takes part of that. Like, I'm being provocative. Direct challenge, man. And to every guy. I had my balls up behind my fucking belly button for years, hiding from feedback. When they drop down... No greater embodiment of that is going to your woman and going, what do you need from me as a man? And let her know. It's like, I want to know, baby. I want to be a better man. Psychologically, everything changes, Ryan. And for guys listening in, everything changes. Why? Because your woman knows this is a pattern break. She's like, fuck, it has always been, I get to the point where I'm exasperated, I'm desperate, I'm feeling hopelessness, and I have to give it to him. Wow, he just came. We're having a nice walk, or we're having a nice cup of tea, coffee together. Wow. And he's just spontaneously asking me for feedback and making it impeccably safe. Like, he's really curious. Like, you support her with that process. Where can I improve as a husband? Where can I improve as a lover? Go as deep as you feel, I say, comfortable to go, but this takes balls. This takes courage, guys. There's going to be lots of fears and an inhibition that's going to come up, but she will start receiving you. Now, that's point number three. This is number four. So, just quick reminder, reflect on what your needs are, reflect on what your desires are. then ask for your wife's direct feedback. Number four, do what you say you're going to do. This is leadership consultants out there. Excuse me, this is not, that's not the term, it's not my term. Is it Posner? I'm forgetting. I've done tons of study and research in the background. It's not coming to me. I should be able to make reference to that, but I can't in a moment. Anyway, whoever came up with it, I think it's Posner's name. Fair fucking play to you, dude. These guys brought out like one of the key characteristics of great leaders is to do what they say they're going to do. And by this, Ryan, by extension, every guy listening in, if your husband, and by essence, I mean, be the husband she brags about, I'm assuming you're all husbands. There's some brilliant, amazing, beautiful queens that have got really curious. I know you're listening in, and kudos to you. You're welcome to the party. But I'm speaking directly with you guys as husbands. If you're self-identifying as a husband, well, you better upgrade your identity to you are a leader. You are a leader. She wants the leader in you to come out. She wants the king in you to come out. And this can be so divisive because, oh, like the feminist movement was beautiful. It was amazing. But I get it. I get it. There's like decades, centuries, and millennia of patriarchal sort of shit, which is not on men. There's a big brush that is painted there, toxic masculinity, all of this stuff. But it's like there's a lot of emotional kickback within women, like very understandably so, to being led. There's this connotation with leadership being told what to do. Like, that is not the type of leadership I'm talking about. It's self-leadership. And being willing and having this omnipresent readiness to take leadership of your family when your unique skills and capacities and gifts to your married life, to your family, means it's appropriate for you to take over leadership in that moment. There's amazing gifts that your wife has where, like you said it, Ryan, and like every guy here can resonate with this. You know, it's like, where is it here in the wordings? Yeah, I'm often taken aback and leaving it to my wife. She has always had a stronger energy that way. Hey, man, like, there's a leader in her. That's cool. You don't want to go take the leadership and take over that role, but she needs that support. But now she can't rely on me. Dude, she really wants to be able to rely on you at the like drop of a hat when she needs. That time in the month, period, man, she's in her. She's retreating within her. She needs you there. If she's pregnant, she needs you there. Protective mode, she needs to feel safe. She needs to feel safe whenever, at a drop of a hat, that you can take over that leadership role in the moment. And one of the biggest, most important things, as I say, these researchers found that great leaders do, and great leaders have, everybody in the organization can trust them. You know, can trust them and feel safe in their presence, and will show up to work or show up to support the objectives of that organization, that business organism, that organization, association, group of human beings, like two or more people, that's sort of like a social organism. Great leaders will get that organism behind the vision that serves the organism ultimately. So you are a leader of your family organism, of that ecosystem. And one of those key characteristics is do what you say you're going to do. This is a non-negotiable, guys. This is not like you know, what happens a lot of times is guys will sort of go, yeah, hey, honey, yeah, I'll try and do better than that. You know, I'll try and not be late home from work. But and touch base, guys, with all your own individual parts of this, and like Ryan, you by extension. What's happening so often when we don't back up our shit when we promise things is we didn't fucking mean the promise in the first place. Let's get real with this. Like, what's happening actually is there's very often what I have experienced in my first-hand experience, and we're working with guys one-on-one in men's groups, is that we say yes and we make the promise to appease the situation, and we have not reflected upon how meaningful the promise is for our wife. And there's a secret, unspoken part of our mind going, if we're really honest, let's use the example of, oh, just, you know, time integrity. Hey, man, like you said you'd be home at this time and you're 10 minutes late, or you're half an hour late, or you're always just at like 5-10 minutes late beyond when I expect you to be here. You know, if I use that as an example, a lot of time we'll just like have an unspoken belief in ourselves that is like, it's not such a fucking issue, is it? Like, what's 10 minutes? I mean, why is she making such a big hoo-da about it? And guys, touch base with yourselves. Is that what's really happening when you're making a promise like, yeah, honey, yeah, no, look, it won't happen in future. You know, it's like, I'll be on time. Be honest with yourselves now. In all of the promises you're making, to be home early, to fucking tidy, you know, your tidy the bathroom up after a shower, to put your clothes away. There's all of these things that seem so mundane. They seem mundane to our nervous system, to our minds. So when our wives give us feedback, we say yes, we promise, yeah, I'll tidy up after a shower. But like deep down, we're like, ultimately, I couldn't give a fuck about this. Like my socks in the bathroom, I can walk in and out of the bathroom like with my socks on the floor, and no part of my human experience gets impacted by that. So we don't take it on board that that's really, really important to our wives. And we sort of make a judgment as like, well, why is she making such a hoo-da about such a fucking small thing? I mean, the fucking socks are on the floor, like whatever. You know, it's so important, just bend down, put them into the basket. Like, this is not like, I'm not being flippant here, but I know for a fact this happens. Guys that I'm coaching, we treat as really small the things we get feedback on. We don't speak that. We promise to appease, to just get out of the awkward situation. Yeah, honey, I'd be better in future. We don't fucking mean it. She notices the sincerity of it, and we end up in this report, Ryan, where I'm my failure to keep good with my promises. I make the promises, I act good, and then I just can't back that shit up. Guys, Ryan, this is, I'm speaking directly with you, but by extension, I know for a fact I'm speaking with every guy. If there's like, how many, there's tons of hundreds and hundreds of listeners, the numbers are growing at a beautiful expansive rate. Hundreds of husbands around the world, guaranteed. 300-500 husbands in the room, if we had like a physical room and I was speaking to this, there'd be ripples of laughter. Guys would be like, oh my god, yeah, I make those promises, I have this hidden shit on the inside where I'm really judging her for fucking getting upset about this stuff. To our masculine mind, it's like 90% of it seems mundane. Here's the thing, she perceives different. You know, you didn't marry your buddy, you know, like your best buddy from childhood, or like, ah, it's like he's salt of the earth, that dude is like, he's a good guy, he just interprets funny enough like a man, like, yeah, you can understand him, you don't fall out too much because you just perceive the world in a different way. You know, apart from sexual attraction, sexual orientation, preference, etc., etc. That's attractive as a buddy, as a mate, but it's like, it's differences that attract. And when we forget that differences are the things that attract us, that keeps the attraction and the sexual polarity, and we start judging our women for those differences, funnily enough, the sexual attraction ends. So when you ask explicitly for your wife's direct feedback, it doesn't matter, it really doesn't matter, like, if the thing she's giving you feedback, if your deep down thing is, well, that's not such an issue for me, if it's important to her, guys, it's important to her. Put your ego to the side and go, honey, you know, time integrity, I'll be back, and if I'm not, I'll send you a message. I know this is important to you, so I'm going to make a promise to you. You can even tell her. It's like, hey, baby, it's like, I haven't been good with this promise before, because that I just didn't realize time integrity for me is not such a thing. But I'm now recognizing this is essential for you, so I'm going to back this shit up. And you make an if-then commitment, you know? If I'm coming to the end of the day at work, then I make sure I get home. So you do what you say you're going to do. There's tons of stuff in this, guys, and Ryan, and like tons of value for every guy listening in, because I think every single point I've said thus far, man, one of those points fully implemented, not just listened to, like listened to and then implemented with warrior sort of intentionality would transform everything. Couple of more points here, Ryan, and by extension, every single guy. When this sort of a cycle happens, Ryan, like one of the major things going on is it's like called an upper limit pattern. That term comes from Gay Hendricks from the Big Leap, his book. I definitely would recommend that you all have a read of that. It's that's his term, but it's like in general, it's like unchecked shame, where it's like the upper limit idea is like we have a glass ceiling on how much joy and love we feel able to allow into our lives. What I'm like pointing to here, and this is so specific, like in what you're saying, Ryan, but every guy that comes, I've yet to find one guy that doesn't have some element of this. Most guys will have experiences like that where things are going good. Oh, like, you know, you have a holiday or whatever, you act in the feedback and things are going good. And then it just crumbles down. And we're like mysteriously going, how the fuck do we just continue that? The upper limit is like this subconscious thing. It happens under conscious awareness. So me speaking to it now, I want a part of you, I'm inviting and challenging a part of you to start recognizing this. A part of us subconsciously self-sabotages this new happiness, this new harmony, this new sexual attraction. It's like, oh, just, geez, we've been making love. It's been amazing in the last couple of weeks. Everything is going good. She's so much happier. A part of us just takes the foot off the pedal. A part of us just has an argument. A part of us actually getting sick can be an upper limit. And what that is like, without even speaking with you directly, and again, guys, this can, Ryan, man, I haven't spoken with you directly. I haven't got time to clarify all of this, but I can be pretty much sure from in my own life, and it's like every guy without exception that I've done deep work with, there's a part where from childhood, like we're talking about marriage, our subconscious mind is like tapped into an emotional set point of like the limit of what you can safely expect in your marriage experience. And if your parents or your mom and a stepfather, vice versa, whatever, if you learn that there was like a drama at home, it's like there's this non-specified emotional set point in your nervous system subconsciously beyond your awareness that when you get really, really happy, it's like your nervous system doesn't know what like a totally happy, joyful, beautiful, she's fucking smiling at me all the time, she's sexually attracted to me. It doesn't know what that feeling is like. And there's like a thermostat control that just goes, oh, we've got too hot, bring it back down. This mightn't make a lot of sense, but I'd be working with you directly on that to bring an awareness of, oh, when times are good, just keep doing what's working and keep them good. And become super aware of parts of you that just stops doing the things that is bringing the positive effect. That's an upper limit thing. Underneath that is like an identity issue. It's sort of speaking to the same thing, but it's like root core. Tony Robbins goes into a lot of this. It's like the strongest impulse in the human mind is to remain absolutely congruent with its identity of self. It's again, it's the self-sabotage thing. This cycle, and so many guys have it, guys, you know, listening in, this like things are going good, you knock a week or two of really good things, everything is shining, and then it falls apart. The identity will do everything to be congruent. The mind, the human mind and brain, will do everything to be congruent with the identity. So again, if you haven't done conscious work on like how you identify as a husband, you in deep work in heroic husbands, men circles, we'd be doing like conscious work on like, well, where do you identify as a man, as a husband, as a lover? And guys, like for a long while, Ryan, I was identifying like I was actually quite weak as a husband. I didn't like, I deep beliefs that my identity, that I didn't identify that a husband had a very important role at home. Actually, deep down, it was like I didn't feel a part of there, and a lot of guys have that. So the identity, albeit I didn't have it like very locked in with a word, I actually identify at times like I'm just a limp dick lover. That was my identity in the bedroom, and my identity in communication was like, oh man, I keep hashing this shit up. So I wasn't coming from a very constructive identity. So I kept having these cycles of, just dysfunctional relating with my woman. It was a fucking nightmare. Definitely making promises, but my identity couldn't keep up to the level of those promises. So there's two things on this. And you can lock in on the man you promised to be, Ryan. You know, and I think so many guys feeling into this, so many guys have made promises of, we have this non-specified idea of the type of man we'd like to become. It's another thing, you know. We often feel like if we become much better men than our dads were, we feel like it's disloyal. If we become rock stars as human beings, spiritual gods, fucking like amazing kings, like we're knocking out of the park, we're sensational, we're present, we're amazing. Subconsciously, the inner child in us can feel like we're threatening our dads. A lot of times we've learned our dads sort of set certain limitations. Again, good boy, bad boy. We have it very much with our mothers, but it's like we feel a nerviness in living beyond the expectations that our dads sort of taught us to have as men. That's another major one. Major. Subconscious, it destroys so many marriages when you are not aware of that. I'd lock in on the man you promised to be. So in those moments, Ryan, and every guy listening in by extension vicariously on this, like the times when you promise, the times when you have these radical breakthroughs, you know, you go on holiday, you get the stinging feedback, but you actually respond and you're like, oh, you're fresh coming into marriage ideas. You know, those intentions of like 6 years ago, 16 years ago, 36 years ago, whatever it is for you, where you're like, you had some idea growing up of the type of man you were going to be. Quite often we're like, I'll be the opposite of my dad. We think we have a clear idea. I'm going to do it different than our dads, and then we become our dads, or we become the opposite of our dads, and it doesn't work either. Get clear on that. Write up a one-page document of like what does that look like, Ryan? Who the fuck do you want to be? Who are you promising you will be? Like, and don't just burp it out when the shit hits the fan. Again, be proactive. When times are good, man, get a one-page document of I am declarations. And like just state, I am trustworthy. I am a man who does what he says he's going to do. I am a man who directly communicates with my woman. I am a man that is trustworthy with time integrity. I show up when I say I'm going to show up. I am a man that honors my woman. I am a man that tidies my fucking socks up from the bathroom floor. I am a man that can be depended on in marriage. I am a lover that honors my woman in the sacred space of intimacy. Whatever it is, write up a one-page document and, man, lock it in every single day. Couple of minutes, you read that document. It's an evolving document. As you get feedback, you write it on the document. You state the type of man you want to become. And you emotionalize it. You speak it with heart, with guts, with your whole nervous system. You're like, this is I am. You know, the power of I am. You declare to yourself, you declare to your nervous system, to the universe, this is who the fuck I own, I'm going to be, man. And write out that page. By extension, every guy who's listening in, this is like a powerhouse practice. This transforms your nervous system. Your nervous system is always listening. But if you don't give it a specific command, you're just in same shit, different day mode. And you're looking at 6 years in, 16 years in, 36 years in, going, oh, why does this just like, why is this stagnant or just getting worse? Because guys, you're just rehashing the same thoughts, the same talking patterns, and the same taking action patterns of the same old identity. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's total bullshit. But an old dog will keep doing the same fucking thing until you, like, undergo deep training. That's why, unapologetically, heroic husbands men circles. Deep training, guys. Rapid change happens. Fucking sensational rapid change happens when you get in there. But within the context of the podcast, that's what I would be challenging you to do, Ryan, and every guy listening in. One last thing before we go here on the point of identity. And this is not an all-exclusive list, Ryan. There could be like 20 other things I could say, but I just really went with my gut feeling. What are the most potent ideas for you in this to transform your situation? I would lock in a new identity. Okay, there's the I am declarations. That's cool. But I would lock in. This is a reminder of stuff I've said before. I'd lock in like a two-word, three-word max identity. I personally use heroic husband. That's why I say it. Like, I support you guys. It's like, hey, kingly brothers, I want king in there as well. I love that as a word, the king archetype. You're fucking badass king that's in you, that's in that archetype, that's in every man. That's a really powerhouse word to reflect, to define yourself as, I'm a king. Heroic husband. I just like it. There's alliteration in it. It sounds good. It feels good. It's like, hey, I'm an heroic husband. Think conscious king. Bit of alliteration sounds good. Conscious king. Fucking love king. I'm a fearless warrior. I'm a fearless heart warrior. Get some thing that just feels good to you. I'm a trustworthy titan. Now, whatever your new identity would be, Ryan, here's where it comes to life in the thick of the arena of marriage. When you're in a testing moment, you know, when you notice those things and you speak to so many guys, you know, like when my old patterns of being selfish or like what you were calling like your weaker perspectives come trickle back in. And man, that just makes you human. Like, lots of love and acceptance for that stuff. That's old baggage that the generations before gifted you, man. Your responsibility is waking up and becoming aware of that there's a new way. And you, I do absolutely believe you're a powerful enough man to make this shit happen. You wouldn't have sent that message if you weren't really open to a new, more powerful version of you taking the fucking reins, you know, taking direction in this amazing marriage that you have, man. So you would ask the question, what would an heroic husband do now? Let's just go with heroic husband as an identity. Ryan, and by guys listening in, is like, you reach the points where you're fucking tired, you're feeling sick, you know, you didn't get your needs met that week because, hey, look, it fell through. You wanted to go for your running or your jogging, maybe you tweaked your back, you didn't get to do it, and you're not feeling so great. But in those moments, it's important to have an identity, and you ask the question, what would an heroic husband do now? So, Ryan, it's like your lesser self, and we all have this lesser self that just is lazy. It's like unconsciously selfish, is judgmental. It's like a small-minded self. You can generically call it ego. Dude, it makes you human. That's okay. It's what you do in the moment to go. There's one of two paths that you have. Do I just go with the default momentum of the lesser self? I'll just pattern repeat. I'll just get defensive. I'll just judge whore. I'll just stonewall. I'll just negate my responsibilities. I'll just get grumpy. I'll just do all of those things. We all have done them. I still have my default patterns. I'm just learning to shunt in and get way more momentum with my new identity. Ryan, what you would do in that moment is like, okay, you can feel the closure coming in. You can feel the old patterns. Catch it and then ask that question. What would a heroic husband do now? I can guarantee you that one question will shunt you into, man, you got to dig deep and you just got to show up in time. Man, you just got to dig deep and let's not argue. Just look over and say, honey, baby, let's go for a walk. Let's talk this one out. Baby, I want to connect with you. You might, like a heroic husband in that moment, she's giving you feedback, man. You just open your heart to it. You'd be like, hey, baby. You know, you might open-heartedly, sincerely apologize, say, I'm so sorry. This is a pattern. I recognize this pattern. I'm after breaking another promise. What is it you need from me right now? That question, what would an heroic husband do now? That would help you access your highest self. And guys, is there not a part of every single one of you, me included, that knows sort of what the best idea in the moment can be? I have found that there's an intuitive part of every man that without listening to a podcast like this, without fucking going into deep coaching, without reading 20 books on relationship, you can intuitively know, man, just give her a fucking hug. Man, just apologize, fucking mean it. Just get her feedback, make a promise, but fucking back it up. There's a part of every one of us that knows what to do. This question is like one of the parts that can access your core of wisdom that you have. What would an heroic husband do now? Ryan, brother, it's my absolute expectation that there's been tons of value in that. And it's my expectation, guys, that every single one of you listening in, those of you open-hearted, well, all of you are open-hearted, open-minded, amazing guys, and you're listening in. I know, like, guys, the game here, unapologetically, is taking extreme ownership. No bullshit, no sugarcoating. It's always coming from a perspective of taking radical ownership. And part of that, like, Ryan, I just want to acknowledge you for having the balls, having the courage, man, to actually send in that voice message. You're really, I want you to know, you're leading this movement of powerful, the numbers are expanding. There's an expanding movement of men listening in. And when they hear another guy like you go, you know, put your hand up, allow your first name to be used. And, you know, I've asked Ryan's permission, and I asked guys permission. Can I use like pretty much the word for word, your message? When you give permission to that, like, man, you allow other guys go, fuck me too. You know, the hashtag Me Too movement. But like, what's powerful about that? There's this part of our psychology when we recognize it's not just me that's feeling a deep pressure and struggle here in marriage. Like, there's a powerful guy, Ryan, Mark. I share openly about my things. I've had a couple of guys, a few other guys that have shared. Guys, there's shit going down in every man's marriage. We had no training. We had no education. The society we grew up in is indoctrinating a way of living that is disconnecting by default. I mean, it's a fucking intense challenge that we're facing. And what I say is there's a lot of suffering that's going on in secret, behind doors, in guys' hearts, and hurting. It's actually, it moves me deeply even to say that. I know this because I have lived through the intense, suffocating pressure of not knowing where I could share this. I was coddled by seeing everybody's happy face at the barbecue, everybody's happy face at the family gathering, everybody's happy face. And I thought I was the only fucking schmuck in the room that was having, you know, major marital issues, emotional struggles, psychological struggles, etc. Guys, it's omnipresent. I can tell you for a fact it's omnipresent. Like, the vast majority of guys are having a deep secret struggle. And a part of me, like, my deepest inspiration is behind Be the Husband She Brags About, is like to demystify that fucking bullshit story that we tell ourselves, that it's like it's just me, and we end up feeling shame and we keep it that secluded in together. Powerful men like you, Ryan, that just send out this message allows other guys to vicariously lean in and go, fuck me too. Oh wow, a powerful guy like that can, and then other guys send in the message. So coming into landing, guys, tons of value. You see the process. Ryan sends in this message. I reflect on it. Bring badass high flame response. Completely solution oriented. Tons of practical ideas that if you just implement one. But the invitation there, the direct masculine challenges, guys. If Ryan can do it, so can you. You'll see the voice message link. It's so simple. One click. Press record, send me your 60 to 90 second message telling me like what your number one struggle is in marriage as concisely as you can. I will prepare a personalized response for you that will support every single guy in this movement. It's an amazing process that we're doing together. This is an amazing movement. I have so much love and appreciation for every single one of you guys. I'm sending you an energetic brotherly hug to every single one of you. I know it's an intense journey that we have undertaken as to be powerful husbands. It's an intense challenge. It's never been more intense in any part of human history as it is right now. But I know, I have full faith that you and every other man in this movement, that we can individually, collectively show up, become better men, better husbands, better communicators, lovers, dads, and as a result, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazing, beautiful, kingly day. And before you go, kingly brothers, I'm so happy to let you know that Heroic Husbands Men's Circles waiting list is now live. Online meetings supporting you up level to hero husband status. Go from fearing your best will never be good enough to becoming the competent and confident husband she brags about. Save years of needless guesswork and confidence eroding disconnection. Click on the link in the podcast description to take your first simple step to becoming the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. Check it out now.